Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
It is good to have you with us for this episode of Fellowship Talks. As always, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
And Amy, we're about to have a really good discussion today. But I want to remind everybody that you can send in questions to us at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. That's our email address. So just send us any questions that you have about this membership series together or about anything else that you want to know about here at the church. And we'll start answering those questions for you guys. So Amy, we had a good discussion with Rick last week, just around the first session of membership.
Yeah, we really did. You know, I really appreciated how open he was and how he shared about his own experience of coming to faith and walking with the Lord and his just understanding of the gospel and how that has applied to his life, that it wasn't just that one-time experience of accepting Christ, but the how that's affected all of his life.
Yeah. So I heard a speaker named Michael Easley one time say that every day we have to wake up and recognize the gospel. We have to recognize and bow before the Lord, realizing that we're not good enough and that we need his strength.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we're talking about this series, I was thinking about just how important this conversation about membership is for our church, and that really what we're talking about here is our identity, who we are in Christ and who we are as a church body. And it made me think about recently in my own life, I lost my identity. I lost my wallet while I was on vacation.
That's not good.
It was not good. And it's the weirdest feeling when you can't identify yourself. It is a weird feeling. You feel very lost. So I would go into a store and I'd want to buy something, and they'd ask for my ID, and I'd have to call Marty and have him come in and show his ID and use his credit card.
And, was he already at the store? Did he come from home?
Well, thankfully, he was sitting out in the car waiting on me. He doesn't love to shop, so he was letting me run in, and so I called him, and he came in. So that worked out fine.
So what do you feel now that you have your identity back?
Well, I'm still waiting on it to arrive in the mail. They did find my wallet. I just left it in the condo when we were on vacation. And so, but I'm looking forward to receiving it back. The couple that found it's mailing it to me. And, you know, there's a security in knowing who we are. Mm-hmm. And particularly as we talk about that, knowing who we are in Christ. And then even for us as a church body, knowing who we are as a church and what our purpose is as a church, there's a security in that.
That's good. And without direction, focus, and that purpose, we wouldn't know where we were as a church. So that's why we have Jim Hudson here with us this week to talk about session two of our membership series together. Jim, good to have you here with us on the podcast.
Oh, it's great to be here, guys.
So Jim, tell us a little bit, for people that don't know you here at Fellowship, tell us a little bit about just who you are and tell us, you know, maybe a little bit about why you're at Fellowship.
Sure. Well, you know, actually, I joined Fellowship just as a member of the body back in 2001. I had moved to Little Rock from Northwest Arkansas. Central Arkansas is my home. I've always kind of grown up here, been here, but spent a stint away from Central Arkansas, moved back to Little Rock, and my mom was working at Fellowship. She was on staff here, kind of an administrative support position, and I knew I wanted to kind of come check Fellowship out, and really it became my home. So I became a member of Fellowship before I actually became a staff member of Fellowship. And interesting for me, at that time that I moved back, it was a hard season in my life. Had a lot of sin struggles going on. Life was not working very well for me. And God in His kindness, His mercy, His providence put me in this church. And really one of the things I realized when I started coming to Fellowship, when I began to hear the Word of God taught faithfully and thoroughly, was that I wasn't a Christian. I'd been exposed to Christianity, you know, pretty much my entire life, but I didn't have the Spirit of God living in me. And this church is incredibly important to me because this is the church that God used to bring me to salvation. Mm. And so I love Fellowship. Mm. At that time, I was a lawyer, and I was kind of practicing as a lawyer, but a few years after coming to faith, I received a call to ministry and then joined the staff here at Fellowship in 2007.
That's awesome. So why are you still here now? What keeps you at Fellowship? What keeps you and Lee worshiping here?
Sure. it's calling, right? I think, you know, God calls us to himself, but then he also calls us to a place. He calls us to a place with his people. And, you know, for Lee and I, we know we're called to be at Fellowship. Mm. We need to be ministered to by the people of Fellowship, by the pastors of Fellowship, but we also want to do ministry at Fellowship. And it's our home. You know, for me, Lee and I, we don't have kids. You know, that's just not been a part of our story. This is family to us. And so we look and we see our brothers and sisters in the faith here. We have spiritual parents and grandparents here. And so to, in some ways, kind of say why Fellowship is a weird question, because you don't really ask that question of your real family, your earthly family. this is just my family, and I don't want to be without my family.
That's good.
Yeah, I love hearing stories like that of just the way that God uses the church in our lives, and that family, and just that he's designed it that way, that we need one another.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why we're doing this membership sermon series, this Together sermon series. And the reason why we're talking about it is, you know, you really can't assume that everybody understands that metaphor of family, because the world actually gives us a competing view for what even what church can look like. We live in a very consumeristic society. And so it's really easy, and I can do this myself, where I can begin to think about the Sunday morning experience, or as I interact with the church in different ways, about what I want, what I expect, and that kind of consumer mentality will start kind of drifting in if I'm not careful. And so the question I have to remind myself of is, okay, look, is fellowship something I'm coming to, or is it something I'm a part of? Is it like going to the movies where I sit passively and take something in? Or is it truly my spiritual family? These are people that I will spend eternity with. And eternity begins right now, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we describe our church not as a building.
Not as a building.
But as a people.
That's right.
We're here as a family together worshiping.
That's right.
So last week, we looked at the importance of the gospel in our lives in session one. This week, we're talking about being transformed by the gospel. What exactly does it mean to be transformed by the gospel?
Yeah, well, it is the only means by which we can actually experience meaningful, lasting transformation. We can try on our own to change, and we can probably have some degree of success in that over time. Mm-hmm. But persistent change, that is God-glorifying change, requires the means that God has given us, which is the gospel. For me, this is really important because when I came to faith, I knew that my eternity was secure. I knew that I'd spend eternity with Christ. But I had a lot of struggles going on in my life at that time. I was struggling with alcohol and other dysfunctional behaviors, and I knew I wanted that out of my life. And I had tried on my own for that to get out of my life, and I had failed at that. And so for me, I really wrestled with, okay, this promise for eternity being secure, does it mean that I just kind of wait until after I'm dead before that can really kick in and give me benefits? Mm. Does it mean I have to kind of try my own effort to behave now? Or did God give me some sort of means in this moment to be able to live differently? Did he give me a power source outside of myself, other than my own kind of good efforts, in order to be able to change? And really changing not only in my behavior, but also on the inside. My attitude, my thoughts. Here at Fellowship, we talk about, we have a value called transformation, right? And the transformation is to be transformed into the image of Christ, both in attitude and action. Mm-hmm. So it is wanting to do the right thing for the right reason. It is to do the right thing to glorify God, because I want to look like my Savior. I want to be shaped into his image. And so for us, when we talk about the gospel, what we're saying is, this incredible power that literally brought Jesus Christ back from the dead, that raised his lifeless body, brought a life into it, put breath back in his lungs, that same power has been made available to those of us who believe. Ephesians 1 speaks to this. Mm-hmm. And so for me to realize, you know what? God has not left us shipwrecked here. God has given us a very, very important means by which we can actually be changed and grow in the image of his Son. And he's put his Holy Spirit in us. as a guarantee that it's going to happen, but also Him living in us is the power by which we can actually live out this change.
Yeah.
Yeah, your story is really such a good example of, you know, there's a quote in this particular session that a disciple of Jesus is not someone who just knows a lot about Jesus or someone who just attends church. Instead, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus in every part of his or her life, seeking to become more and more like Jesus in attitude and action.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I love how you said that, Amy, and just reading that quote, I had a discussion with someone recently talking about how they were having a hard time with a group of believers because they felt like while these believers wanted Christianity and they wanted Christ in their life, it was just a piece of their life among many other pieces of their life. Jim, for you, what does it look like to act? What does it actually mean to follow Jesus in every part of life?
Sure. Amy was talking about identity, and she had lost her ID card. We have lots of identity stealers that creep into our lives. For me, an identity stealer is this need for significance, right? It's not a significance in the sense of, like, I want to be in the newspapers or something like that. It is a sense of, I want to make impact. I want to be the center of things. I want to be a decider in things. Sometimes I can look like control. In a lot of ways, it is the original temptation that the serpent spoke to Adam and Eve, that you will be like God, to be godlike in how I live my life day in, day out. That, for me, is a big struggle. The frustrations I experience, the headaches that I have every day, it is like, okay, I'm in a fallen world. I'm still a fallen person, redeemed fallen person, but a fallen person nonetheless. I'm not God, and praise God that I'm not God. And so for me to realize the journey of transformation is to continue to surrender to the idea that the gifts God has given me, I praise Him for that, I thank Him for that, but they're not meant to replace Him with me. And it's the wrestle that I have to do every single day, is that I'm not God, stop trying to act like God. What's the reason why I'm doing something? Is the reason why I'm trying to do something to glorify Him, to win people to Him? Or is the reason why I'm trying to do something is maybe some sort of self-redemptive motivation where I've had struggles in my past and I may have shame about my past and I want to do something noble in the present and do something noble in the future so I can redeem my past? It's those sorts of wrestlings that transformation needs to kind of come to and make me look more like Jesus.
So, you know, what you're referring to there, we talk about as heart idols in this session, power, control, approval, and comfort. As you talk about those and the need to be transformed, how are we transformed in attitude and action? How are we transformed from being focused in those idols to turning to Jesus?
Sure. I think the very first thing is just awareness, right? I think for many of us, life is busy. Life brings lots of pressures. We got our head down, and we're just trying to get through the day. And we're not really very mindful. We don't really stop and ask the question, what's going on inside my spirit today? We don't really take time to pray to God to say, you know, show me my sin. That's a really earnest prayer, and God is incredibly faithful to answer that prayer. You ask God, God, show me my sin, He will show it to you because He loves you enough, not in a shaming sort of way, not to rub your nose in it, but to show you how He wants to change you from how you look now and how you behave now to what you can be like in the future. The key word, I would say, for me, and it's a word I've been coming back to a lot in my own study, is repent. It's repent. You know, the very first proclamation that Jesus made as He began His earthly ministry was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I think for those of us who spent time in churches, for those of us who maybe even see it on TV, or, like, you know, you think about, you go to Times Square and you're kind of touring New York City, and there's always like somebody on a street corner holding up a sign that says repent, for the end is at hand, or the end is near, right? And so we had this caricature of that word repentance, and it can almost feel like a shaming and condemning word. That's not what Jesus's intention was at all. That word is a word of freedom. And when He said repent, what He was saying was, let's all start thinking differently about how life is supposed to work.
Yeah.
Life is not supposed to work apart from me. Life is supposed to work centered on me. And so the question that I have to ask myself with these heart idols is the thing that I'm focusing on, the thing that I'm trying to hold on to, is that centered on Christ or is that centered on me?
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, a lot of times it's centered on me.
Yeah, you said at the beginning there, you were saying that our transformation starts with an awareness mm-hmm. of our sin. What can you give us an example of something in your life where God used to grab your attention and say, Jim, you're screwing up right now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me, you know, my story's got some dramatic, you know, kind of peaks to it and valleys, particularly when I struggle with substances and just dysfunctional, destructive behaviors. And that includes, you know, alcohol and struggles with lust and adultery. And I can talk about that, and I do share that a lot in my story. But let me just give you just kind of an everyday sort of example. You know, I work with you guys. You know, we interact around the office a little bit.
Yes, we do.
So I can get intense. And I know sometimes when I feel very strongly about something, that part of me that kind of wants to make sure everybody's on my side and gets what I get, I can be a bulldog. And I'll hold on to a point. And I will make sure that you're arguing at least as well as I am. And you got to argue better than me if you're gonna win. I can step on people. And you know what awareness can look for me today is when I can look at somebody's face, somebody that I care about, somebody that I work with, and I can realize, oh, I just walked all over you. And the grief that can cause me, I mean, biblical word there is conviction.
Mm-hmm.
That's what awareness looks like. And so, you know, being open to the idea, the truth, frankly, that I'm a saint and I'm a sinner. And so every single day I'm going to be sinning. Now, there's remedy for my sin. I've been redeemed from my sin. My sin is not my identity. But I need to be confessing my sin. And I'd like to be overcoming my sin progressively with God's grace at work in my life. And so I want to be asking the question and going into that question asking, knowing that I did sin today. Okay, I'm assuming that it happened. God showed me what I did today and give me a pathway to be able to go make it right with people and then look at changing that behavior over time.
That's good. So the first question in the discussion questions for this week is, what is a need you have right now that you can have hope that Jesus will provide for you as a work of grace? So as you listen to this podcast, we encourage you to think through that and go back and talk in your D groups, discuss your D group discussions about these kinds of things. Jim just laid that out great with an example in his life. I know for me, this is not to be funny or trite at all, but a lot of times God's awareness in my life comes through my wife and how she recognizes my sin area in my life and gently reminds me about it. Sometimes not so gently, but gently reminds me about my own sin.
Yeah, I think that's, again, it's that picture of how God uses us in one another's lives. And just even Jim's example of seeing that look on someone's face, he sees how his sinful behavior affects someone else, and God uses that in his own heart to change him. And just having that awareness, and I think sometimes it's easy to get stuck in that, mm-hmm. but we know that we have hope in Jesus that he can change that in us.
And that knowing that my identity is secure, getting back to that identity, because I think identity is such a big thing here. If I'm secure in my identity, then I'm really protected from the voice of shame. Mm-hmm. We have an accuser, and the mm-hmm. accuser is not Christ. The accuser is not our Father. It's not the Spirit. The accuser is the enemy. It's Satan himself. And so if we're comfortable with our identity, if we're secure in that, then we have the confidence to ask the hard questions about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
knowing that's not really costing us really anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about our ongoing imperfect sanctification which somehow erodes our justification. We're in Christ, we're secure in Christ, our future is secure with him, our inheritance is secure with him. The only thing that's really up for grabs right now is the quality of our witness.
Mm.
And if we want our witness to be better, then we're willing to ask that question, how can I change?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a section in here that talks about transformation as a team sport.
Yeah.
What are we trying to say when we encourage our church that transformation is a team sport?
Well, the first thing is to recognize that we all have limitations. You know, God has built his church, as a multitude of members, each with different giftings, some with the gifting of discernment, some with the gifting of encouragement. We need a team of people around us for us to experience sanctification. That's how God designed the process. I have blind spots. I am my best PR manager. You know, I tell myself all the time all the great things that I'm doing. I mean, I've got all those press clippings in my mind of how awesome I am. I need people in my life who can help me see my blind spots. Now, what does that look like practically? I think what it looks like practically is having a few trusted people that you can have conversations with regularly. Can that be your D group? Absolutely. Probably best with a subset of your D group, where there's some guys or there's some gals for the women that you're just kind of going a little bit deeper with relationally, where you're current about what your sin struggles are. What I'd say is that if you find in the time where you're sharing about sin struggles, the examples you're bringing up are from things, you know, 5 years ago or before you're a Christian, you probably need to ask the question, well, what's going on right now? Because there's some things going on right now, undoubtedly. So being a part of a D group, that's a beginning to it. Sometimes it may be that there's a persistent struggle that you've kind of tried to get after something. Let's say it could be a struggle with finances. It could be a struggle with maybe drinking too much. It could be a struggle with pornography, whatever. You need a little bit more structured mechanisms for being able to change. And we have some of those ministries here. Renew would be one of those, where you can kind of come into a ministry like Renew with a small group component. You can work through some curriculum. It gives you a ladder to climb on and ask specific questions about specific struggles. Here's the good thing about small group interaction as well and talking to other people. A lot of times the voice of shame tells us that somehow we're a freak with our sin, that nobody else struggles the way we struggle. Well, we know scripturally that there is no struggle that's unique to man. It's common to all of us. We all have struggles of the same stripe, and those are heart idol struggles. Getting in a small group when I share about something and then somebody else shares about something and it's similar, it kind of tells me, oh, wow, that means I'm not unique. That means I'm not a freak. A real quick story on this. When I came to Fellowship, and I told you about my struggles I had, I went involved in a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. I was kind of forced into that. I didn't really want to go willingly, but some folks told me that I really had to go do it, and so I did. And that first night I thought, you know, I'm just going to show up and I'm just going to kind of watch and listen but not speak. I went to small group. In the small group, the guys were talking about some sexual temptations and sexual struggles. And I began to share in the small group. Even though I didn't plan to do it, I began to do it anyway. And I got very emotional, and I was crying because there's all this pain that was coming out. And, you know, I wasn't even looking at anybody. I was looking at my shoes, you know, as I was sharing. And after I was done sharing, there's this guy across the room. He began to share, and he'd been coming for a little while. And he told a little bit of his story. His story was similar to my story, but I could tell he was further down the road, and his story was tinged with hope. Mm. You know, that's the power of confession, is that, you know, it is an invitation for somebody to speak the gospel back to you. That's why we confess. We confess our sins to each other and pray for each other. So when I confess, somebody will share with me the hope that I can find through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we wrap up our time together, Jim, what's one last thought that you'd love to leave with our church?
You know, I'm going to just keep coming back to that word gospel, that the good news of all that's been done for us in Christ Jesus. We, as elders of this church, we have convictions that the gospel is the very center of everything that we teach, everything that we talk about. It's all got to be the gospel. The gospel is like this beautiful diamond that we hold up and we just keep turning it, showing you a different facet of it. We never move on from the gospel. We move further into it. Recently, Ben was teaching and was talking about moving from milk to meat. We have to be careful that we don't consider the gospel just milk and that the meat is different facets of Scripture. We move from the milk of the gospel to the meat of the gospel. In 1 Peter 1, Peter talks about that the gospel is so astounding that even the angels long to look into these things. Mm-hmm. You think about the angels who are in the presence of God all the time. they're interested in how the gospel is being revealed here on the earth. If they're interested, we got to be interested too.
That's good. Jim, thanks for being with us today to talk through session two of membership and our series together and just having a conversation to go deeper into this.
Oh, it's been great to be a part of this, and I'm so glad you guys are doing this podcast.
Yeah, we thanks, really appreciate Jim. Your leadership through this membership initiative here for us to have this conversation as a church. I think is really important.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
So, Amy, what I heard today is that this comes down to identity and who we belong to. We need to know who we are in Christ and who we belong to because of Christ, as being our church. We belong to our church, and we walk this together with our church. So if you have questions as you're listening to this podcast, if you have thoughts that you want to send in to us, remember you can always email us at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. Amy and I would love to get your comments and your feedback and just any questions that you have at all. So next week, Amy, we're looking forward to Dave Kella. He's gonna be with us talking through session three of our membership series.
That's right. Looking forward to that.
Awesome. So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.